a new year, and the media always like to trot out the best of award shows and retrospective looks back. Okay, we're players. We'll play too. For the next hour, from the press box to press row, we'll be looking back at some of the highlights of our short time on the air. And because he's sitting behind the good mic in a custom-fit blazer, here's your host, Donald Ware.
Part two of the 2024 year-end review show. Hope you enjoyed part one on last week. I hope you had an absolutely tremendous Christmas, a tremendous Hanukkah, a tremendous Kwanzaa, and are having an absolutely wonderful holiday season. It begins, I guess, really around Thanksgiving and lasts throughout the month. And it's just a lot more relaxed. I don't know about you, but for me, just a lot more relaxed. I've been on a couple of places, as a matter of fact, for Thanksgiving. Went to the mountains. I already talked about that. But last week, or the week before, really, got back earlier this week. So it really was last week. Spent the week in Hawaii, in Honolulu specifically, Oahu, and Waikiki more specifically. Had an absolutely tremendous time. So for my wife and I's 20th anniversary a couple of years ago, we went to Hawaii, actually stayed on the Big Island in Kona specifically. And so it was cool. Like, there was just enough to do. You could go over to Hilo, which was a drive, so forth. But we actually also took a one-day trip, took a plane over to Honolulu for one day. This was, again, 2 years ago. And we spent some time, enjoyed it so much that we thought, okay, this time we take a family vacation. And so that's what we did, just to kind of get a feel of maybe what Christmas was like, you know, in Hawaii. Better weather. It was tremendous. We had a tremendous time. The food, I tell you what, there's all kinds of food. That's the thing. Like, Hawaii is just a mixture of various cultures. So there's all kinds of food there. There's plenty of shopping. There's plenty of sightseeing. We went over to Pearl Harbor, which, you know, I hadn't been to Pearl Harbor. I think the first time I went to Pearl Harbor was like 1990. So it's been a long time ago, and had a chance. And it's interesting because when you're standing right at the edge of the harbor, and all of the various pictures that I've seen in terms of whether it's clips or whatever it is, documentaries, etc., relating to December 7th of 1941 at Pearl Harbor, standing right there at the harbor, it's almost like you can visualize what happened on December 7th, 1941, in a way, because where I was positioned, or where you're positioned in looking out over the harbor, is basically, in terms of the look of the harbor in of itself, is what you see. Now, of course, the ships and all of that is different. It's not that many. There's not that many ships. There's some. There's a couple of that you, or one or two that you can actually go on and visit. We didn't do that part of it, but you know, we did Pearl Harbor. We rode through the mountains. We did the shave ice. The shave ice is absolutely tremendous. So we had an absolutely wonderful time while in Honolulu. Now, the time difference, there's a 6-hour time difference. So, you know, I didn't see a whole lot. Like, I didn't see a whole lot. Like, I didn't see any of the college football playoff games, the initial rounds. Let me see. Did I see any of them? No. Saw all the highlights, but didn't see any of them. You know, I gotta be honest with you, and I think the next time around, this is going to be, the committee's going to look at this. Like, SMU didn't represent the way that I thought SMU would represent. That could hurt maybe an SMU the next time around when there's a similar scenario, or could hurt a smaller school. You would hate to see that, but that could be a possibility. Now, in the same vein, it could hurt an Indiana the next time around. I didn't think Indiana belonged in the college football playoff, but Indiana made it to the college football playoff. You got to respect that. It is what it is. And so Indiana definitely, I'm not going to say Indiana disappointed, but, you know, I didn't think Indiana belonged in the playoff, didn't think they had a shot to win, and certainly didn't. But, you know, from the highlights I've seen or saw with respect to the college football playoff, looking forward to the subsequent games as well. Got a chance to watch a little bit of the National Football League. Obviously, I'm not going to miss the Commanders and the Eagles. Did miss the Commanders and the Saints because we were on a plane to Honolulu, so missed that game. But did not miss a big win for the Commanders. The division's still up in the air. Maybe, I mean, it's going to be hard-pressed because the Eagles have the Cowboys and the Giants remaining. If anyone, the Commanders are not, or the Eagles are not going to lose to the Giants. But I'm looking forward actually to being in Landover, Maryland on Sunday. And that game was flexed out. So it's now a Sunday night game between Atlanta and the Commanders. The Commanders still fighting for a playoff spot. As a matter of fact, again, fighting for the division, which is not likely, but fighting for a higher seat, fighting to solidify itself in the playoffs first off, and then perhaps fighting for a higher seat. Meanwhile, Atlanta is still in the fight as well. So this promises to be a good game. You've got two rookie quarterbacks, Penix versus Daniels. So that promises to be a good game, and looking forward to being in Landover, Maryland. All right, let's get things kicked off. And again, hope you enjoyed part one of our 2024 year-end review show. Had some pretty good conversations in 2024 as we look back at the months of January through May. Now, in June, we caught up with the commissioner of the then Gulf Coast Athletic Conference, Kiki Barnes, or Dr. Kiki Barnes, who was to become the commissioner of the newly formed HBCU Athletic Conference, which in fact became the HBCU Athletic Conference on July 1st, and moving away from the name Gulf Coast Athletic Conference. And had a chance to catch up with Dr. Kiki Barnes to talk about this move and the new conference, HBCU AC.
Well, I tell you, so we enlisted the help of a company, 1035, a Black-owned branding, PR, I think, marketing agency. And, you know, it took us, I would say it took us about a year and a half to kind of work through the process. So having conversations with, you know, the constituent groups, the coaches, the ADs, the presidents, we have a group of students, our Association for Student Athlete group, that, you know, we were having all these different conversations around how do we want to position ourselves as, at that time, we started saying we're the NAIA's only HBCU conference, because we're aware that everyone knows about those other conferences that you mentioned. But when you mention members of our conference, people will be like, who is that? And there's always what I would say is this, what's the GCAC? Where are those schools at? Who's in your conference? And there was not this, what we would say is this automatic recognition or brand strength as you see with the other HBCU conferences. Like when you say the SWAC, you think about those schools as a collective, and people can name those schools. And also people not just being as familiar with the NAIA. The NAIA actually was the first association to integrate. So our first basketball championships were, I think, Tennessee State, Kentucky State, all of those schools that I would say have are more familiar from a brand perspective were all NAIA members a long time ago before integration. And so it was like, well, we really have to do some work in the marketplace to help people, one, know who we are and understand a little bit more about us. And so what better way to do that than name yourself the identifier, right? We are a collective of HBCUs. I remember having to keep saying, okay, well, you know about the HBCUs on the East Coast. And I'd say that, I was like, well, we're a group of HBCUs in the Deep South. And so I keep having that conversation over and over again. And so what we, from a strategy perspective, after having all those conversations with the different groups, you know, and working with, you know, a very, I would say, competent group of people who could help lead us through this, we felt like HBCU Athletic Conference would, in fact, help us be positioned to compete for partnerships, sponsorships, and give us a strong brand identity in the market. And so we're really excited. You know, it had to go to a vote of the presidents. You know, so we have a process. Like I couldn't just make some unilateral decision and kind of tell everybody this is what it's going to be. It was definitely a collaborative process with different options. And after, you know, going through those processes, getting to a final name. So we are really thrilled about it. We're excited. We think it, again, it's going to position us well and is a great foundation for us to continue to build on.
Dr. Kiki Barnes, at that time, the commissioner of the GCAC, now the commissioner of the HBCU Athletic Conference. To the month of July, and had a chance to catch up with one of the most gangsta in the history of television. You would know her by her name of Tasha St. Patrick from the show Power, as Naturi Naughton joined us back in July and talked about her HBCU experience. What more maybe did you learn about HBCU specifically as it relates maybe to this film?
I didn't learn anything more in particular, but I learned just the disproportionate numbers of Black girls, 36%. Of the Black girls, you know, of people that are missing are Black women, yet Black women only make up 14% of the population. I learned that. And then shooting it on HBCU and seeing the community, and, you know, I didn't have the pleasure of going to an HBCU, but I'm around so many friends and family. My parents went to Shaw University in North Carolina, shooting this in Atlanta at Morehouse. There's just such a community. And I think that's one of the things, whenever I'm in Atlanta or shooting on HBCU, I really get a sense of the community and the togetherness and the accountability for each other. You know, particularly as Black people, we have to all look out for each other. And if we don't matter to each other, it won't matter to anyone else. So if one of us goes down, we all go down, and we need to look at it as a sense of unity. So I think just being able to shoot on HBCU was really empowering. And our writer is a teacher at HBCU at Morehouse. So it was just really good to see the energy. But I didn't learn anything different, because I've always loved the energy at HBCUs.
Tasha St. Patrick was so go hard. You understand what I'm saying? Like, what can you speak to playing that role? And boy, that, I mean, you talk about an iconic role in once history is all said and done, in what will be an iconic series in Power. Can you speak to that?
Oh, my goodness. Yes, I can. I would just say that I didn't know it was going to be this iconic. I just wanted to do good work. Playing the role of Tasha St. Patrick really did change my life. 10 years is pretty, I guess it's pretty amazing and very iconic. To be able to be a part of the culture and the history of television, so many people come up to me and tell me, like, I grew up watching your show. I'm like, wait, when did you start watching this? You're too young. But it's really interesting how these characters connected to so many people of all backgrounds. And now I'm really, it's interesting, the first six seasons of Power, they're like being watched over and over and over again. And now Ghost is coming to its final season. So it just feels good to be able to say that I had a consistent job for a decade. And it really did give me the opportunity to grow as a woman, as a producer, as a mother. I became a mother on this show and then, you know, got married. So it feels like life really opened up for me with Power, and it gave me power. So I'm grateful for the opportunity.
The nice people in the suits are making some uncomfortable looking faces. Too much fun on the air and not enough revenue generation. So we'll take a pause for the cause and come back with more of the very best of From the Press Box to Press Row. And if you're just joining us, you can always catch up where you'll find every single broadcast. Box2Row.com, a service of DW Communications.
Home sales are down 31% across America, and mortgage rates are on the rise. If your home is not selling, you need to call our experts right now at the Quick Cash Hotline. We have investors ready to pay you cash for your property, regardless of the condition it's in. Most of our closings can happen in about 7 days. You don't have to worry about a buyer getting approved. You don't have to worry about showing your home. One simple call right now. Just pick up the phone and call us. I'll give you the number in a second. We will negotiate with you a price to buy your home. It's that simple. If you're ready to sell your home right now, any home, any condition, and you don't want to put money into it, no problem. We'll buy it from you. Call right now. It's a free call.
800-470-7113. 800-470-7113. 800-470-7113. That's 800-470-7113.
You're listening to From the Press Box to Press Row.
From the Press Box to Press Row.
Box to Row.
The best and brightest of the sports world are with us every week from the Press Box to Press Row. But don't take our word for it. Sit back and enjoy more of our look on the air with Donald Ware.
Continuing with the 2024 year-end review show, let's jump to the month of September and had a chance to catch up with now former UNC head football coach Mack Brown and talk with him about the special game that the Tar Heels played against North Carolina Central.
I didn't realize that the Tar Heels and North Carolina Central, with the close proximity, had never played before. I know the Tar Heels had played A&T back in, this was before you had come back in 2015. You're familiar with smaller colleges. I didn't even realize you coached at App State back in the day when it was in 1AA. So speak to what this game in particular means to the communities of Durham and Chapel Hill.
Donald, first let me say what it means to me. I love Coach Bill Hayes, who's been had such an impact in this state. With not only race, not only sports, but he's touched so many lives, but HBCUs, and he's still raising money at this point. And he'll be an honorary captain Saturday. Bishop Harris was the first minority assistant coach in the ACC. I talked to the staff this morning about that. I can't imagine you going in for an interview and there's nobody in this whole conference that looks like you. And you're wondering if you're going to get the job or not. Then you get the job, and you are the only minority coach in the whole league. And we all talk about race today. Wonder how you felt walking in for that interview and walking out. And Bishop and I coached together at LSU. We lost him last spring. So his family will honor him as one of the representatives for honorary captain before the game starts. There's a gentleman named George Bulldog Smith, who worked for me here, and he's been an associate athletic director at North Carolina Central for 30 years. Right. And he worked for me as a strength coach. We had Mad Dog Bulldog. That's why I couldn't remember his last name. I always called him Bulldog. Bulldog and then Shep Dog. So we had the dogs doing our strength program. And I thought he should be honored because he's touched so many lives with kids at both schools. And that was such an important thing. And then Rod Broadway, he played here. Coach Hayes won 2 HBCU national championships. Rod Broadway won 5. And he did so much for not only this community, but this state. So when we played Florida A&M a couple of years ago, I thought it was great because we could send money back to the HBCUs, but also honor that group of schools and coaches. And I thought it was even better when we could do it here. Trey Oliver and I have been around each other some. I've met him some, the head coach at Central. I really like him. He's fun. He's done an amazing job. They've won more games in 2 years than we have. They've won 19 games in 2 years.
The legendary Mack Brown, former head football coach at UNC. Now, of course, we know Bill Belichick is the head football coach there. Also, in September, we had – see, Vanderbilt has had a really, really good season, right? Like, anytime you can get to a bowl game, if you're Vanderbilt, you're doing something. We were on the Vanderbilt train early. Had a chance in September to catch up with Clark Lee, the head football coach at Vanderbilt, and I asked him this. Duke, Stanford, Vanderbilt, Howard University, like you're talking about some of the more elite schools from an academic standpoint. When it comes to recruiting, some of the guys you're trying to get in the program, is it more difficult to recruit because of those kind of academic standards?
I think that it creates a certain filter that I think can actually help you build a better football team. So I don't see those. In fact, the reason I came here and took this job, it's my alma mater and this is my hometown, but I believe in the product of these kind of places where a young person can come and get a holistic experience that actually gives way to a lifelong journey of prosperity, and prosperity not just being financial, but you know, someone who has autonomy and recognizes their ability to have impact and to serve community and, you know, to chase passion. Like that's what we're into here. I sometimes certain players are eliminated from our board because they haven't shown that they value education and maybe they're not performing at a level in the classroom that is going to be successful here. But we also don't recruit a team full of valedictorians. We have guys from all different kinds of backgrounds and different, demonstrated abilities in the classroom that come here and do really well because this is a place that, you know, is supportive. And so we're a smaller campus that, your professors know you by name and we've demonstrated success, not just graduating our players, but, graduating them into careers that they go on to do big things. So I see it as an advantage. I think in some ways, we have to stay committed to that, even though the transfer portal and NIL have shifted some of the strategies around player acquisition and player retaining. But for us, it's got to be someone who's interested in the holistic experience. And if they are, then what better place to do that than at Vanderbilt, where you're playing in the SEC, you got a top 15 education and you're doing it in Nashville, Tennessee. We think that's a pretty unique combination of factors that make us one of one, and as long as I'm doing my job on the football end of things and making football important here and demonstrating progress with respect to a player steps in our building and he knows he's getting better day in, day out with training, with nutrition, with the tactical design, with the teaching. If I'm doing that, then this becomes a great place to have a great football career, to go on and be a pro for a really long time, to then launch into your long-term impact in life. And that's kind of the design and the vision for what Vanderbilt football can be.
Vanderbilt head football coach Clark Lee. Now, moving to the month of October and staying in Nashville, we caught up with Eddie George, the head football coach at Tennessee State, and what a run for the Tigers in 2024.
Right. It's, we all want that microwave instant pop. You want to heat it up right now in 2 minutes. But your greatest meals are done over time. It's a process. The best meals that I've ever had, it took 8 hours, sometimes 2 days to go through the seasoning, the brining, the slow cook, so you can really enjoy every piece of that meal. And that's kind of where we are now at Tennessee State. I'm not trying to be like anybody else. All I know is my way in terms of how I was raised in the sport, how I was coached, how I played the game. and who I aspire to be as a head coach. I'm not perfect. I don't have all the answers. I'm always seeking answers. I'm always seeking ways to get better. But the one thing that I try to provide is an environment that guys can grow, our coaches can grow, they can be themselves, they can bring forth ideas. And, you know, we're really focused on being positive and having an optimistic environment as best that we can. Now, we are not perfect by any means. You know, we don't have all the answers, but we strive for that each and every day we walk into this building.
I think it's interesting, the analogy. Did you just smoke a pork butt or something? You said 2 days. Were you on the smoker, Coach George?
I gave you the support of my process when I brine my turkeys. You know, Thanksgiving is right around the corner. So, you know, I'm thinking about brining my turkeys and injecting them with an injectable marinade that I make myself, the marinade. And, you know, that's a 72-hour process, you know, so – And it pays off in the end. So, you know, I always look for analogies in terms of building a team and having a meal and so forth.
I'm not even sure if Eddie George was able to get on that smoker because, of course, his Tennessee State Tigers played in the playoffs the weekend of Thanksgiving. But nonetheless, a tremendous season for the Tennessee State Tigers. We've got more of the 2024 year-end review show still to come.
We're looking back from the press box to press row. So, it's about time Donald and the gang straighten up the studios. We'll do that and be right back with more from the press box to press row.
You're listening to From the Press Box to Press Row.
Here with Stephen Curry, your progress from Davidson to now with Golden State.
Where I've come from in high school into a small D1 college at Davidson. And it's a great story, and I'm just having fun, you know, living my dream and riding the ride.
Main event! Jey Uso joining us here. Could there be a possible return to the bloodline?
For me?
Yes. At some point.
I'm gone, D. Hey, I threw the deuces up before. I'll do it again, man.
Come on, main event. That's family, man. I mean, I'm not talking about now. I get it. But down the line, like, come on.
Hey, D, you see how they be treating me, man? Come on, man. That something. It be your own family sometimes be doing you wrong, Lou. I got to go, man. Hey, I'm doing all right by myself.
She's Simone Biles.
Actually really fun, like, to be honest. Had a lot of fun. We were like, oh, of course, like, we're in the best shape of our lives. We're feeling confident about our body, and we hope that other young girls and women, like, feel that being strong is still beautiful.
The one and only Michael Strahan, and cannot have you on without talking about Texas Southern. Cannot. So how did you ultimately end up at Texas Southern?
Yeah, from Houston. Grew up in Germany. When I was a senior in high school, my dad said, I'm going to send you to stay with your uncle in Houston and get a football scholarship. So I went to Houston. I played at Westbury High School for 1 year. Texas Southern was probably the only school that saw me play, being right there in Houston and being a local boy. And Coach Walter Highsmith, I went over to see him, and he offered me a scholarship. It was perfect for me, man, to go to the HBCU, to go to Texas Southern. The size of the school, the education they gave me, not just in the classroom, but about life. I would have been swallowed up at another school. I wouldn't have felt as if I really could have made a difference or had a real purpose of being there. But at Texas Southern, I always felt like I could make a difference and I had a purpose.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Skylar Diggins of the WNBA. Thank you for having me. I'm excited. You know, just been able to work a lot on my body and my shape and a lot of things that I feel like I needed to work on in the offseason. I was able to get that done, and, you know, it's showing.
Snoop Dogg is on the mic. Pay attention.
I appreciate the love that I get, and I appreciate the sport of hip-hop. And it's given me back that same love in return, you know, for the amount of years that I've been doing it. I've always went into it with the same, you know, spirit of I make music for the people. I make it go for them, and I always make them a part of it. I never separated myself and tried to be a star. I've always wanted to be one of the people that you can look to as somebody that was, you know, like your uncle because of the way that I treat people. And I feel like my career is representative of that. That's why the longevity is there. That's why the love is there. And that's why I maintain the status of, you know, being relevant for so many years.
I'm talking about none other than Serena Williams.
That was definitely one of the better matches I've ever played. I've had it just like that. You know, I was really focused, just really, you know, excited.
Demetrius Flannery, a.k.a. Lil Meach.
In Atlanta,
told me that he was going to move me from my hometown, Miami, to L.A., put me in acting classes, and I had to go 5 days a week, 2 times a day. Only had about a year and a half, but once I started, I didn't want to stop, you know, so once in a lifetime opportunity, I didn't want to watch somebody else, you know, get the role of playing my father and me having to watch him on TV. Opportunity passed me by, so I just buckled down and focused, man. Put everything to the side and made sure that my number one thing that I wanted to do was focus on being the best possible actor I can be for the show. And that's how it happened.
That is the voice of Kevin Durant.
Oh, yeah, well, I'm just, you know, trying to get better every single day. We've been through a lot as a team, and I enjoy playing with a great group of guys. So, you know, I'm just trying to enjoy every moment of it.
That is the voice of Common. You went to Florida A&M.
Oh, FAMU days were some of the best days of my life. I mean, I had so much fun there. It was, like, invigorating. It was an introduction to a new aspect of culture in the world. I mean, the Southern girls is just incredible. you know, the food was great. The black college experience, you can't beat that.
Kyrie Irving.
Playing at Duke for Coach K. What was that like and how that prepared you for the league now?
Playing 11 games, you know, a lot of people think that's not a big package for you to become a better player. But for me, it was. Playing for Coach K, he gave me the keys to the car, and I was driving it in first 8 games, and you know, being a part of something special like that and having a brotherhood built at an institution such as that one is an experience that you never forget.
Ice Cube has been our guest.
Hey man, thanks for letting me talk a little music, movies, and sports. Hey, my favorite three topics.
Hey y'all, it is the EST of WWE, the strongest, the fastest, the roughest, the toughest, the quickest, the greatest, the best on Box to Row. Tune in if you want to catch the best BEST interview ever.
From the Press Box to Press Row is the sports talk show that is the voice and the talk of HBCU sports, with a flair for pro sports talk and entertainment. Check the show out online at BoxToRow.com.
That's Box to Row, real, relevant radio.
All right, enough selling stuff already. Let's talk more sports as we bring you the very best of From the Press Box to Press Row. Here's your host, Donald Ware.
Let's stick in the month of October. T.C. Taylor, in his second season as the head football coach at Jackson State, had a chance to catch up with him. Even at that time, Jackson State playing some tremendous football, ended the season like on a 9- or 10-game winning streak all the way to the HBCU National Championship. And again, had a chance to catch up with him back in October. What did you learn last year maybe about yourself as the season went on? I mean, look, 7-4, I mean, that's a winning record. It's a solid season. Last year, as a first-year head coach that you now carried into this second season?
If I just keep going about it the way that I started, we're going to be okay as a program. You know, we're continuing to build this program. We continue to recruit as a high level. But people already know we lost a lot of coaches off last year, team and players. I had to go out and, you know, revamp the coaching staff and Coach O did a great job of revamping his coaching staff. Very excited about the staff we have in place. But, you know, sky's the limit. We're growing. We're a growing program. If you think back to that year one, you know, I was hearing a lot about all the players that we lost. And for us to come out that first year and be competitive the way we were, we were right there in a lot of football games. And we, you know, our goals were to go play in a Celebration Bowl, win a SWAC championship. No different this year, but we're steady building. We're steady recruiting at a high level. And we got this thing going in the right direction.
Do you talk with or still talk with Coach Sanders by chance?
We text. I know a couple weeks ago I texted him, you know, good luck on the game. He responded right back. It's more in the offseason, though. This time of the year is kind of tough. With he got a lot of pressure on him over there to get things done. He having a great season and vice versa here. You know how this the Jackson State, Army is here. So just tough to, you know, get on the phone as much. But we do send texts every once in a while. In the offseason, we'll try to get together and get some fishing done again.
Yeah, no doubt. And I know you relish in that challenge. Last thought, what does it mean to be the head football coach, having the success that you're having so far at your alma mater?
Means everything. It means everything to you know, I walk these same halls. I played on at the Vet like these guys, and I remind them that all the time. Like a game like playing A&M this weekend, I remember the battles having against the Alabama A&M, the Gremlins, and everything. But it means the world. You know, that's why I just want to continue to grow this program in the right way. And I understand the responsibility for success. You know, these fans do an awesome job of supporting us here. Our AD, Ashley Robinson, is one of the best in the country. Our new president, President Thompson, does a great job with us, getting us the things we need to be successful. And, you know, that's the challenge for me. If I got that kind of support, we're recruiting the type of players we're recruiting, getting the right coaches in here, we're going to continue to be successful.
And the Tigers were successful all the way, again, to the HBCU National Championship. Well, now we're going to move to the month of November and had a chance to catch up with Rhett Lashley, the head football coach at SMU. And at the time we caught up with him, SMU was undefeated, and talked with him about the success that the Mustangs were having to that point. I got to take you back to last year, because you're talking about a season where you win the AAC championship. It was the first time, I believe, 39 or 40 years since SMU had won a championship, with all of the stuff from the 80s and all of that. This program obviously is back. Speak to what that championship meant, but then also bringing that momentum into this season and a new conference.
Yeah, I mean, it was, I think our program at SMU, you know, obviously we have a long history, but it ended in the mid 80s. And so there had been a little drought here. And you know, probably the last 5 or 6 years, we've been winning again and been playing good football. We've won more games in the last 5 years, really the last 6 years now, than any school in the state of Texas. But we didn't have a championship to show for it, you know, going into last year. And so to break through and win a championship was big. I think just it was the next step for the program to try to get all the way back to where our program had been before, when Eric Dickerson and those had played here. And then to do it in a way that it was the season as we were going into the ACC, I think helped springboard us into this new conference with a lot of confidence and momentum. Had a good number of guys returning from that team that knew how to win. The ones we lost, we were able to attract people to come and replace them. One, because we had just won, and also because we were going to the ACC. And so just the timing of it has really helped, because, you know, when you get an opportunity to go to the ACC like we've done, you know, I think we always believed we'd be a good partner and add value to the league, and that the league would definitely add value to us. But you want to go prove that. And you know, so far, our guys, if nothing else, have proved we belong in the league and can be a good member of the league that helps raise the level and the, you know, the exposure of the ACC. And obviously it helps us to be in the league.
And with the release of the college football playoff, we know SMU earned the right to be in the playoff. So congratulations to the Mustangs. Speaking of college football and teams that have had success, Army has had a lot of success this year. The only loss by the Black Knights, on just one loss on the season. And Jeff Munkin, the head football coach of the Black Knights, also joined us in November. Building this Army program may not have been very good prior to you coming. Maybe your first couple of years, not what you've wanted, but then that third year, you won, 8 football games. You've had a couple of double-digit wins at Army. Speak to building this program and where it is now. And now, of course, as everyone knows, your first year in the AAC.
This is a tremendous institution. The United States Military Academy is, frankly, one of the best academic institutions on the face of the planet. And nobody does leadership like West Point. It is the preeminent leadership institution on the face of the planet. And we don't apologize for saying that. It's an incredible place that's, for centuries now, built and prepared young men and women to lead our nation as officers of the United States Army. And so there's a standard of excellence here. And there's an expectation of our American people to have an institution here at West Point that is going to create leaders for our nation and for the world that will shape American history and world history for decades to come. And that's what we do here. So to have a football program that represents this institution on a national stage, this football program needs to be on par with the excellence of this institution. And so when I arrived, fortunately, I had a great support team in our superintendent, our athletics director, that believed the same things, that we needed to have a football program that matched the excellence of this institution. And so we just worked very hard together to build this program. And our players, I can't say enough for just the faith and the trust that they put in our staff and how hard they worked. And there were some tough years. The first year was really difficult. The second year, I knew we were getting closer. We lost 10 games. We lost 8 in our first year, and then we lost 10 in our second year. What looked like we were going backwards to everybody else, I knew we were getting better. We were playing 20-plus freshmen every week. We lost 10 games, but 7 of those were by 7 points or less. And I knew we were getting close. And the next year, we won 8, and we won 10, then we won 11. And we really had the program in a place where we felt like we could sustain success. And we've been able to do that for the most part. And I've been really proud of our players. They're the ones that have done it. They've had to play all the snaps, and they have to put all the time in the off season and the summer and the sweat and toil of practice. And so we've had just really great guys here as players. And I've enjoyed seeing this program grow and build back to a successful level.
Big time success for Jeff Monken and the Army football team. Staying in November, had a chance to catch up with one of the best soccer players in the United States. Sophia Smith joined us back in November and talked about a number of different things, including coming out early from Stanford.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the decision to leave Stanford was not an easy one, and it was not the one that I took lightly at all. I mean, since I was young, I wanted to be a professional soccer player, and I knew that there were all types of different routes I could take in getting there. I could have not gone to college at all. I could have played all 4 years. There's all these different scenarios, but I felt like when I was ready, it was just like a gut feeling that I was ready for a new challenge. I was ready to kind of put myself in an uncomfortable position and just grow in that way. And it was my own gut, my own heart telling me that this was the best thing for me. This is the best timing for that. And I mean, I had people close to me that supported me and, you know, kind of guided me through this. But at the end of the day, it was my decision. It's my life. And I just felt like that was what was best for me. And yeah, I mean, I enjoyed my 2 years I had at Stanford. I think Stanford is a really special place. I met my fiance, my now fiance there. So I wouldn't have changed it for the world, but I also haven't looked back since. And yeah, I'm really happy with how it worked out.
No doubt about it. I think last year you look at the rise of women's college basketball with Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese and, of course, what's going on in the WNBA. But now this has been going on with respect to soccer for quite some time. Can you speak to that? And you're one of the stars and the faces of women's soccer.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's rightfully so that women's sports are growing at the rate that they're growing. I mean, finally, people are paying attention. People are realizing that it's exciting. It's fun to watch. There are stars. There are big names. And I think it's been a long time coming. And to see the growth, to see the investment, and, you know, to see people just genuinely rooting for women's sports, it's a really cool time to be a female athlete. It's a cool time to kind of push the game in a direction and set it up for players who will come after me as the players that came before me did for me. So it's an exciting time.
Conversation with Sophia Smith. And in December, we had a chance to catch up with Howard alum and funny man Anthony Anderson right here on the program.
Man, you look here, man. You know you be seeing me at the Clipper game. I grew up a Laker fan. I still am a fan. Why are you bringing up the Lakers? Talk to me.
No, just generally speaking, although they won that NBA Cup last year, now there's some struggles with the Lakers. I mean, no shade, because look, let me tell you. You know, now you went to Howard and all that kind of stuff. I'm from the Washington area. Both of my parents actually went to Howard. Look, I'm a Wizards fan, man. Like, I'm not talking about anybody. We're awful, But I'm just saying, the Lakers not doing as well this year so far.
I mean, you know, all teams have a period in which, you know, they're transitioning. You know, we have LeBron James, one of the greatest to ever play, you know, who's been in this league 20-plus years. You know, that takes its toll. It's about rebuilding. It's about bringing in new talent with fresh legs and looking towards the future. Now, you know, we may not win every game currently, but it's not always about the here and the now. It's about what's going to happen in the future. And so, you know, I think the Lakers are going through a transitional stage right now, you know, finding the right pieces to the puzzle. You know, unfortunately, you know, we will be losing LeBron. So it's about how are you going to build the team? What's going to be the nucleus of the team in the next 2 to 3 years? And that is that's a process. And I think all teams go through that. All great teams go through that. You know, you get to the top of the mountain and eventually, you know, you are forced off the top of that mountain. And I think that's where we are right now.
Look, believe me, Anthony, I'm not here to throw any shade. The Bullets got to the top of the mountain in 1978. It's 2024. We haven't even sniffed the top of the mountain in that time frame.
It doesn't seem a little bit longer sometimes, you know what I mean? It may take a few generations to get back up there, but I have faith.
Funny man, Anthony Anderson, as a matter of fact, joining us just a couple of weeks ago. So any of these conversations, you can check them out. If you've missed any of them, want to watch them mostly, you can watch them in their entirety on the Box to Row YouTube channel. Check us out. Follow us while you're there. Subscribe to the Box to Row YouTube channel where these conversations from today and so many more conversations from yesteryear, so much content on the Box to Row YouTube channel, and of course at boxtorow.com. On the other side of this break, we're going to wrap things up. Keep it locked.
If you have diabetes, listen up. If you have insurance, you can qualify for a continuous glucose monitor. With a CGM, you can continuously track your levels and trends and spend more time in range, significantly lowering your A1C. More importantly, a CGM eliminates the one thing most people with diabetes hate, painful finger sticks. Order your new continuous glucose monitor today. If you use insulin and if you've seen your diabetes care provider within the last 6 months, you may qualify for your own CGM right now. We'll do all the insurance paperwork and deliver your new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost to you. Medicare and most insurances will cover your CGM, so don't wait. Have your insurance handy and call the Aptiva Medical CGM Health Hotline right now.
800-946-6813. 800-946-6813. 800-946-6813. That's 800-946-6813.
It's Donald Ware from the Press Box to Press Row.
Hope you enjoyed the 2024 year-end review show, part two, and hope you're having an absolutely wonderful holiday season. Look, as we do each and every year, want to thank all of our sponsors that helped to make Box to Row what it is. Of course, as we are coming up upon 20 years on the air. And, of course, want to thank you, the listener, for listening each and every week, for supporting this program, whether you listen on radio, whether on our website, boxtorow.com. If you follow us on any social media, again, thank you for your support of Box to Row. Last but not least, got to thank all of the affiliates around the country and now the world that carry Box to Row. So in Alabama, those that listen to us in Birmingham, WYSP-FM 95.1. In Montgomery on WUMO-FM 94.5. Of course, WUML, a new affiliate of Box to Row in 2024. Also, in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., it's a 96.3 HD3 WHCB. That is the HD3 affiliate of WHUR. We appreciate the partnership with Howard University Radio, which WHBC is a part of. In Daytona Beach, WELE, a longtime carrier of Box to Row. Thank you in Daytona Beach for making Box to Row and WELE for the longest time a part of your day. In Jacksonville, Florida, on Jack Sports Radio, it's actually XL 1010 and FM 92.9. In Tampa, WURK FM 96.3. In Georgia, long time. Albany, Georgia, long time carrier. As a matter of fact, probably going back to around 2008, WASU FM 92.7. In Savannah, Georgia, WRUU FM 107.5, again, a new affiliate in 2024. Also, in Lexington, Kentucky, WLKU FM 93.9, again, WLKU, a new affiliate in 2024 of Box to Row. In Alexandria, Louisiana, longtime affiliate, KTTP AM 1110. Also, sticking in the state of Louisiana, KKAY is also an affiliate, KKAY 1590 out of Baton Rouge, and also KBRS FM 106.9, also of Baton Rouge, again in 2024, a new affiliate. In Grambling, Louisiana, KGRM FM in New Orleans, WAMF, an affiliate for a couple of years now of Box to Row. Also in Ruston, Louisiana, that Ruston and Monroe area, KRUS FM 96.3, as well as in the Ruston, Monroe, Louisiana area, KNBB Sports Talk FM 99.3. In Mississippi, Ada Bina, Mississippi, on WVSD FM. Also, Jackson, Mississippi, WJSU has been a longtime carrier also of Box to Row, as has WVSD as well. In Lorman, Mississippi, WPRL-FM has been a pretty longtime carrier of Box to Row as well. In Kansas City, KCPZ, FM 95.3. Got plenty of affiliates in North Carolina that carry the program. In Ahoskie, WRCS, of course, here in Raleigh, Buzz Sports Radio, longtime carrier of the program as well. In Elizabeth City, but really, not only Elizabeth City, but in Elizabeth City, in the Outer Banks, even in the Hampton Roads, Virginia area, a longtime carrier of Box to Row. As a matter of fact, that's a long time, probably 15 years or so now, WRVS-FM. Also, in Greensboro, WWBG also carries the program, WWBG-AM 1470. In Dayton, Ohio, WCSU-FM, carrier of the program. In Portland, Oregon, KNUM, the numbers, FM 96.7. In Pittsburgh, longtime carriers. Matter of fact, I got to tell this story. You know, WGBN 1360 in Pittsburgh became a carrier the weekend of the Super Bowl in 2008. Carried the program for the first time and has carried the program ever since. That is coming up now on 16 years as a, it was a 2008, no, coming up on 17 years, coming up on 17 years airing in Pittsburgh on WGBN. In Denmark, South Carolina, WVCD. Also in Holly Hill, South Carolina, WIBS FM 96.1. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, ESPN Orangeburg 92.9 FM and 1580 AM. Also in, let's see, where else? Oh, also, of course, in Nashville. I mean, we're all over the country, right? Nashville, Tennessee. Radio Free Nashville, FM 103.1 and 107.1 as well. In Austin, Texas, KAZI FM has been a longtime carrier of the program. Speaking of newer affiliates, our newest affiliate out of Chatham, Virginia, or the Danville area, reaching even maybe into Lynchburg, a little bit South Boston, also WKBY AM 1090. Sticking in Virginia as well, ESPN Richmond 106.1 FM. So those are our great terrestrial radio stations that carry the program. Also, we're on, well, that's not our, but from a domestic standpoint, internationally, so glad. And I said the newest affiliate, that's our newest, our station in Chatham, Virginia is our newest domestic affiliate. But our newest affiliate overall in terms of terrestrial radio stations, of course, Hot 107.5 FM in Bermuda. Of course, on Sirius XM, we thank those that listen to us and thank our carriers, Sirius XM channels 142 and 84 as well. Then, of course, our online radio stations that carry the program as well. Bronco Eye Radio, as well as Big Game Christian Sports Network and Tobacco Road Sports Radio, as well as our internet carrier. So as you can tell, we've got a lot of affiliates around the country and now internationally that carry Box to Row. We're so proud of that, and we're looking for many, many more in 2025. So look, 2024 has been a really good year for us at Box to Row. We now are counting down to 20 years on the air. Of course, August the 20th of 2025 will be 20 years of Box to Row on the air. We've got plenty in store in 2025. Some big things happening with Box to Row in 2025. We're glad you're along for the ride and super excited about what 2025 has to offer. Look, this Box to Row now, our 20th year, 19 years, but our 20th year on the air. This is our 20th year in review show. Look, when we put this together, had no idea that it would be our 20th show. When God is in the midst, has a plan, it happens, and this is that. So, you know, all blessings to God for what has been accomplished here with Box to Row and for all of his wonderful blessings. No doubt about that. So for the last time, as a matter of fact, want to remind you, you can follow Box to Row on social media at Twitter or X, as it were, at Box to Row, B-O-X-T-O-R-O-W, as well as on Instagram, on Facebook, B-O-X, the number 2 R-O-W, as well as From the Press Box to Press Row. You can also follow Box to Row on TikTok as well. And for more information on the program, if you missed any of our programs over the years, we've got podcasts, interviews, etc. at BoxToRow.com. Also, don't forget about the Box to Row YouTube page as well. And for the last time in 2024, always remember to support those that support you. Yo Box Toro is produced by DW Communications. Listen to me, yeah, yeah. Look at God. He's made